Saturn Films presents a Long Shot Films production in association with BBC Films and Deluxe Productions. Moving in on sepia-colored artwork depicting armored figures guarding a set of ornate gates beneath medieval arches. An E. Elias Murhige film. John Malkovich. Willem Dafoe. Shadow of the Vampire. Starring, in alphabetical order, Cary Elwes, John Aidan Gillett, Eddie Izzard, Udo Kier, Catherine McCormack, Ronan Wiebert, moving past details of the artwork, horses and stylized dragon motifs. Casting by Carl Proctor. Music by Dan Jones. A section of the artwork shows a horse and rider trampling upon a cowering man. Director of photography, Lou Bogue. Produced by Nicolas Cage and Jeff Levine. Written by Steve Katz. Directed by E. Elias Murhige. A caption. Jofa Film Studios, Berlin, 1921. Brilliant German filmmaker Friedrich Wilhelm Murnau is refused permission by Bram Stoker's estate to film his novel, Dracula. Murnau simply changes the name, calling his vampire Count Orlok and his film Nosferatu. F.W. Murnau then creates the most realistic vampire film ever made and establishes himself amongst the greatest directors of all time. An eye, and then the lens of a film camera.
Roll camera and begin.
A woman and a cat.
Nice pussy. Nice pussy. Meow. You're very content right now, aren't you, Ellen? You live in a nice house, you wear pretty clothes, and you're married to a kind man who's promised to love you forever. You have no inkling of what lives at the bottom of the flower box. No sense of longing. No notion even of death itself.
Murnau is standing by his cameraman and the rest of his crew.
And print it. Wolf, have we established PAFA?
Perfectly, Herr Doctor. I mean, one take.
The actress watches as someone carries the cat from the studio set.
Well, let's get the film to the lab immediately. I'll need to see Rushes tomorrow before the train in the morning. Alvin?
Yeah, Friedrich.
Hurry and strike your set, as you never hesitate to remind me it's costing our investors a fortune daily.
Shooting outside the studios will cost you much more, Friedrich.
But such is the price of genius. Thank God, an end to this artifice!
Murnau and many of the film crew wear white coats like lab workers. He approaches the actress.
Nicely done, Greta. You are developing in a number of lovely ways. For a moment, I even thought I saw a premonition of evil cross your face.
It wouldn't surprise me with all the spooky shit you've been saying to me.
I told you it's important for the realistic effect.
But why do we have to leave Berlin just now, at the start of the theater season?
Alban, has your man arranged the cars?
Yes, too.
Do you have any idea the parts I've been offered at long last, the salaries?
Will that be enough?
It has to be. They're the only cars in the region.
Herr Doctor, you're ignoring me. There was a time when you didn't ignore me.
Greta, why would you possibly want to act in a play when you can act in a film?
A theatrical audience gives me life, while this thing merely takes it from me.
Greta, Ellen is a woman who discovers the ultimate expression of love in the most exquisite pain imaginable.
He grasps her hair.
Does that sound familiar? It's a very demanding role. It is the role that will make you great as an actress. Consider it a sacrifice for your art.
Well, quickly, ladies and gentlemen, we have a train to catch. Hans?
Alvin, what did you give the cat?
Laudanum.
Laudanum.
It's hard to keep the damn thing docile under the lights. Why did it show?
It looked a little pickled.
Not as much as Greta. Things seem to be well in hand here.
Friedrich?
Friedrich, we have to talk about the vampire. Not now, Alban. It's nearly dark. Wrap things up for me here, will you? Make sure the imbecile Gustav does not miss the train. And I'll see you all in the morning.
But what kind of clothes should I pack for him? What kind of makeup? How tall is he? Please, tell me, Friedrich.
Does anybody know where he's running off to?
Perhaps he has a woman.
Or a man.
Now, a small case is opened, revealing a hypodermic needle. Someone then uses the needle, now full of a clear liquid. Murnau is climbing some stairs in a den of iniquity, where nude, painted women dance, and cross-dressers strut and kiss. Murnau kneels at the feet of a woman in a black dress and lifts her skirt while an erotic floor show plays out beneath a lurid red light. Now, four of the filmmakers study a map.
We crossed the border into Czechoslovakia a few hours into our journey.
Apparently, Herr Doctor has already filmed some of the exteriors there.
He has?
You didn't know?
No.
Strange. Well, you can assume we'll be filming all of Hutter's scenes there.
The scenes between him and the vampire.
I thought Dracula lived in Transylvania.
Strictly speaking, this is not Dracula. The author's widow wouldn't sell us the rights to the novel.
So who's playing Count Dracula? I mean, Orlok.
His name is Shrek. Max Shrek. Apparently he was in the Reinhardt Company when Murnau was directing.
Shrek? You sure you have the name right?
He's a character actor.
Who told you he was playing the vampire?
Herr Doctor told me.
I never heard of any Max Shrek in the Reinhardt Company.
The doctor told me he was with Stanislavski in Moscow.
Oh dear, one of the Russian school then.
As part of his preparation, he submerges his own personality into that of the character he's playing. That is why he's not traveling with us. The doctor told me he went to Czechoslovakia weeks ago to absorb the flavor of the place, I suppose. The doctor also told me that when we get there and start filming, Max Schreck will only appear to us in full makeup and costume. As the vampire. And furthermore, we will only film him at night.
And why wasn't I told about it? I'm the producer.
Well, he told me.
Steam rises above a locomotive by a platform bustling with people. One man's leading two goats along, while others are loading luggage and equipment onto the train. Murnau.
Tell me you're not too pretty to work for me.
Yes, sir.
I love the cinema.
Friedrich, I just realized this morning our financiers, they don't know what picture you're making. The crew don't know what picture you're making. The cast don't know what picture you're making. And now I don't know what picture you're making. Are you happy?
Alban.
I know. Tell them nothing.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Alban addresses some members of the press.
Gentlemen, I'm Alvin Grau, producer and art director of this picture.
Is it true Murnau is filming Stoker's Dracula?
Friedrich Wilhelm Murnau is Germany's greatest filmmaker in a class which such masters as Griffith and Eisenstein. At present, he is supervising every detail of this unique on-location expedition.
The major part is going to play.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Will you be filming in Germany?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Coal is shuffled into the locomotive's boiler, and slowly, its wheels begin to turn. The driver peers out from the side of his cabin as the train pulls away from the station. A member of the film's company, the actor Gustav, runs along and boards a carriage at the last moment. Next, passing above the railway tracks, then the train, its funnel spewing out thick white smoke as it rolls along.
Our battle, our struggle, is to create art. Our weapon is the moving picture. Because we have the moving picture, our paintings will grow and recede. Our poetry will be shadows that lengthen and conceal. Our light will play across living faces that laugh and agonize. And our music will linger and finally overwhelm because it will have a context as certain as the grave. We are scientists engaged in the creation of memory. But our memory will neither blur nor fade.
The train has now stopped, and the company carry their baggage and equipment onto horse-drawn carts. Gustav holds up a bottle.
What is this?
It looks like blood.
A single car drives along a narrow country lane. It leads the carts, transporting the crew and their belongings through the leafy rural surroundings. A thick cross stands amongst tall trees at the roadside. The car arrives at an inn, a plain, run-down building with a cross attached to its fading white walls. A man comes out to greet the car's occupants.
Good evening. Herr Doctor, we've been expecting you.
The wagon train has arrived.
And here's the lead mule.
Well, what a terrible journey that was. How long have you been here?
Not long.
Don't tell me we have a busy schedule tomorrow.
Gustav, no exterior shots of the inn, some shots in here, arrival of Hutter's carriage. Welcome. Welcome.
Friedrich, I'd like to plan for these night scenes. When are they to be filmed?
They will be filmed soon, but they won't require much planning.
But I need extra help to set up the light. Surely you can give me some notice so I can prepare.
Herr Doctor, where are all the extras?
You're looking at them.
Doctor, these people cannot act.
They don't need to act. They need to be.
Nighttime, and a door creeps open.
Wolf?
Gustav ventures into a room.
Herr Müller?
He goes to close an open window. Seeing Wolf standing shivering on the other side of the room, Gustav leaves, going through to another room where candles burn next to a made bed. Looking concerned, he closes the door and goes to the window. Seeing only the parked car outside, Gustav begins to remove his dressing gown. Throwing it over the foot of the bed, he picks up a candle and climbs beneath the sheets. Once settled, Gustav blows the candle out. Outside, the car is no longer there. Now, somewhere dark and gloomy. Someone's carrying a lantern and a cage containing a weasel. A black-gloved hand places the cage down, and a figure retreats up a crude stone stairway. The weasel lies down in the cage as another figure appears behind it. With an awkward, unnatural gait and posture, the black-dressed figure steps towards the captive animal. Long-nailed hands with a claw-like appearance reach towards the cage and lift it away. Murnau directs Gustav.
All right, Hutter, it's been a fitful night, but you wake refreshed, eager to continue your journey to the castle of the nobleman who may very well make your fortune. Wait, Gustav. What is that beside you? Yes, pick it up. It's a book about vampires. Ah, yes. Now you remember. It was put there last night by the superstitious peasants, the ones who warned you not to enter Orlok's castle, the ones who warned you not even to dare to speak his name. Nosferatu. The unclean, the undead, lest you invoke the creature itself. Very good, Gustav.
Herr Doctor.
Albin?
I am sorry, Herr Doctor. But
Albin!
Yes, Friedrich.
And Albin, a native has wandered into my frame.
Come, Sie, beautiful. Come.
Wolf steps away from the camera platform.
Wolf! What is the matter with everyone?
She will not let us go on filming unless we replace the crosses.
Am I really being bothered with this?
Herr Doctor, I warned you. You should be more concerned about these things. The crosses are not for decoration.
We will put them back. They just overwhelm our composition.
Now, a scene from the film.
Albin, the camera.
Yeah, the headlight should be sufficient.
We must go. Henrik, what's the scene number?
23.
Quickly. Yes. Alvin, that's fine. He'll take care of it. Go in, Henrik. On either side, you open the door when I give you the cue. Ready? We ready?
Yeah.
And roll camera. Iris in. And begin. Gustav, you walk in very slowly. Very slowly, yes. Feel your bag. Make sure you have your contracts.
You're afraid.
Who was the person who brought you?
You must go into the castle. The castle calls you. The gates suddenly open. You must go in. That's excellent, Gustav. Go forward. Go forward.
And end. Wolf?
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm in charge of their construction. Who built all this? We have an agreement.
Albin. I sent some local workers ahead this morning. I'm sorry I didn't explain to you. Please, there's a generator in the courtyard. Just past the tree on the right, on the back. Get it to work. And we'll take this camera. We have an agreement. Yes, stay here for a moment. Wolf, your camera's here. Set it up quickly as possible.
Oh.
Yes?
Gustav's in position.
Roll camera.
As Wolf films, Murnau turns the handle of a second camera.
Gustav, you move forward very slowly, heading always for the tunnel. This is perfect. Just a dark hole that has been unexplored. Untouched for a long, long time. And then, one night, something crawls out.
Gustav steps closer to the darkness ahead.
Hutter, meet Count Orlok.
Gustav stands stock still, as in the tunnel ahead, there's movement. Someone, or something, is stepping slowly towards him. A thin, cadaverous face appears from the shadows. A man with pointed features and jutting, hairy eyebrows bows formally to Gustav. He wears a long black coat and turban. He gestures with rat-like hands for Gustav to follow him through the tunnel from which he's emerged. Wolf and Murnau turn the film cameras, watching intently as the scene unfolds.
Gustav, you must follow him into the tunnel.
Looking quite terrified, Gustav reluctantly steps into the tunnel.
Yes, going in. Make your way down. And in.
Wolf still turning his camera as a dazed Gustav walks back into view.
Wolf?
My God.
Wolf! Yeah, got it.
Remarkable. The overture to our symphony of horrors.
Genius, Hatta. Genius.
He is not from the Reinhardt Company.
Wolf.
Congratulations, Gustav.
Yes. Yes, I was good, wasn't I? I saw his face. His face.
Where did you find him, really?
In that hole. Gustav, this was your finest moment.
Good, Gustav.
Gentlemen, let's pack up. Shooting is completed for the night.
That's it? You came all the way for one scene?
I would have driven anywhere at any time for that look of Gustav's.
I would like to congratulate Herr Schreck on his extraordinary appearance.
For the remainder of the shoot, he will be Count Orlok, to himself and to all of us. Just leave the man alone. He will be completely authentic. He is not interested in our questions or our praise or our conversations. He's chasing an altogether different ghost.
Friedrich, come quick, it's Wolf.
Wolf seems in distress as he lies on the floor of the tunnel. Murnau and Alban run to his aid. In a window high up the stone wall, a shadow moves and Max Schreck appears. As Wolf is helped across the courtyard of the castle, Schreck watches from his vantage point. He leans out a little as the film lights are turned off. Now, back at the inn, the innkeeper's wife's holding a candle when she encounters an ill-looking wolf.
Is my room ready?
Yes.
Wolf staggers a little and she holds a crucifix around her neck to her mouth when she sees his pale face.
Nosferatu.
Ah, this is too much.
Answer me, Herr Doctor. Is this some stunt to evoke fear in us?
Henrik, stop being so theatrical. You wake the whole house. Go on up, Wolf, and have a brandy. You'll feel better in the morning.
What's happened?
He's ill, obviously. Take him upstairs and then go outside and help Herr Grau with the camera equipment.
Bring the camera straight to my room, I know. Prepare for tomorrow.
A stark image of the castle as seen in the film. Inside, the crew's preparing for a shot. Murnau stands by a gramophone player.
Alvin, we need to clear the table. We'll need the inkwell, the quill, and the contract. I'd like it darker and smokier.
Yes.
Yes.
Which case I pulled. Move that lamp to the far side, and you spread some dust on the floor.
The cast and crew all stop what they're doing. Through some black material hanging to one side, the long, talon-like fingers of Schreck peel back the cloth, revealing his grotesque face. There's something rodent-like about his appearance and manner.
Ah. And there you are.
incredible, no? I wish you could all see your faces. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Max Schreck, who will be portraying our vampire, Count Orlok. As you no doubt have heard, Max's methods are somewhat unconventional, but I am sure you will come to respect his artistry in this matter. Now. Yes, places, everybody. May I have the chair, please, quickly? Count Orlok, you will sit here at the head of the table, please. Very good. In this scene, the Count is reading the papers you bought him, and you are about to make a considerable amount of money. No, no makeup!
Keine Schminke.
Forgive me, Herr Doktor.
Albin, clear the set!
War das Bild frei. Elke.
Sitting at a table, Schreck sniffs as Gustav joins him.
Count, you're reading your documents. That's it.
It isn't right.
Well, try acting it, for God's sake.
What should it say?
It's meant to be a contract. A real estate contract.
I'd like some makeup.
Well, you don't get any.
All right.
Are we ready to begin? Elke, the phonograph.
Wolf, Murnau, and Albin put on dark-glassed goggles.
Ruhe bitte. Iris in. And concentrate. Begin. All right, Orlok, very good. You're reading your papers. Read your papers very intensely. After all, how often is it that you get correspondence from the living? No, don't look up. Concentrate on your papers. Not that you actually care about the details of the contract. All you're interested in are all those juicy throats waiting for you the moment you get to Germany. Now, Hutter, even though it may repel you, creep in, creep in. Let us see the expectation on your face. You're about to make the biggest sale of your life. Point out a few details of the contract. Yes, tell them that's particularly beneficial to you. Reach into your bag. This will seal the deal, and something falls out. Count, what is it? On your left, on the table. It's a locket.
Schreck picks up the locket and gazes at it.
This is Greta Schroeder.
No, you don't know her.
I'm supposed to ask who it is.
Schreck touches the locket between two of his remarkably long fingernails. He seems to caress it.
In.
Jesus, Max.
Henrik, can you explain to him his motivation?
All right, Count. Think about this. What is it that inspires the most longing in you? That is most desirable and yet most unattainable?
Delight or dishonor?
That is the emotion. Use it. Nosferatu, you read your papers. Ruhe bitte.
The filming continues, and Schreck clutches at the locket again.
Who is this woman?
This is Ellen, my wife.
She has a beautiful bosom.
Oh, jeez.
Gustav, just snatch it back from me. Yes, go on. In Vampire, you signed the papers. Take your quill, sign the papers. Yes, go on.
I understand. We are going to be neighbors.
Schreck gestures at the document.
Very nice addition, Count. Yes. And Hutter, how does that make you feel? Yes, snatch back your papers. You're happy to be his neighbor? And Iris out. End.
Excellent.
Excellent. Give the lip readers a thrill. Wolf, do you have it?
Yes, I got it.
Wolf, have you got it?
Yes, I said I got it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Later, at the inn, Gustav still wearing his costume and makeup as he pours himself a drink.
Do you think Shrek is all right? We have left him up at that castle.
He's not in danger.
He's a fine actor, but all this preparation, it's very strange.
You think it is strange enough for him to go so deep inside his character that he forgets he's Max Shrek altogether?
God knows I forgot.
Shrek's peculiarities are like lovemaking games. You believe them when they happen, but they always stop short of anybody being seriously hurt.
While the moon hangs in a black sky, the shadow of a hand holding a bottle moves against the walls of a dark tunnel. Meanwhile, Shrek's bald-headed features peer at a book as he sits in the center of a crypt-like cavern. He reacts to the approaching footsteps before turning his attention to the book.
The woods decay. The woods decay and fall. The vapors sweep their burden to the ground. Dinner. You set a very mean table. No rats.
Shrek suddenly grabs at the bottle.
There was a time when I fed from golden chalices. But now, don't look at me that way. In my old age, I feed the way old men pee. Sometimes all at once. Sometimes drop by drop. I told you. I feed erratically. Often enormously.
Back on the film set.
Yes, Max, and you may give the locker to Elke. Now, yes. Gustav, this is a scene from the previous night. You have met your host. He's brought you home to his castle. He's giving you a dinner. You can start eating. Very well. Excellent. In Orlok, you're merely reading your papers and totally ignoring your guest. Good. Wolf, roll camera. And begin. Yes. A thought occurs to you.
Look at your host. Very good, Gustav. Do you think he might have been the stranger who drove you to the castle?
You watch. Is he even human?
How does it feel to be eating next to him? Knowing that you're spending the night with him in the castle alone. You watch him. Orlok, drop your paper. You look at Gustav. Gustav, keep watching him. Take your right hand and reach for the bread knife. Watch him. Breathing. What will happen? Reach out, take the loaf of bread, and cut yourself a slice.
Yes. Slicing, slicing, you're slicing. Toward you, watching him. Slicing, slicing, watch out. Slicing, watch your
finger! Look, Nosferatu, blood! Blood!
Damn it, mother! I really did cut myself.
Paul, go and check the generator.
You did that intentionally. Calm down.
I'll see to the light.
That knife was sharp like a
Gustav,
razor.
Gustav, remain in character.
Jesus Christ, get this shite cop off me.
The light's gone out.
Shrek! What is the matter with you?
He's a Stanislavski Lasky lunatic. That is what is the matter with
you. I have contracted you in secrecy and at great expense. You will not damage this production. Herr Muller, when will you have your equipment functioning properly? I am tired of your lack of enthusiasm.
I saw you.
Gustav, bring the girls to the car.
I am not happy.
Move! Hey, Doctor, the man is barely breathing.
I told you to fix the generator!
No, leave the equipment and take the camera. We are done here for today, Herr Doctor.
Albin!
Help me.
Everybody to the automobile.
Hey, Doctor, we're leaving. Shrek?
No. No, he stays.
Gustav and Murno saw Shrek sucking at Wolf's neck. As the crew depart, Shrek skulks across the set, looking pleased with himself. With curiosity, he examines a film projector that's sitting on a table. Shrek begins to turn a handle on the machine, and a flickering black-and-white image of clouds appears on a cloth opposite the projector. Shrek stops for a moment, intrigued by the machine. He turns the handle again, holding his hand in front of the lens and watching its shadow play against the cloth screen. Fascinated, he closes his hand and opens it again. Now, Shrek turns from the screen. He continues to turn the handle as he bends, staring directly into the bright light of the lens. The picture being projected directly into Shrek's hungry eye is that of clouds being backlit by the sun. Now the film shows a sunset over water. Meanwhile, the filmmakers have arrived back at the inn.
Albin.
Murno climbs out of the car. He closes the door and breathes in sharply as he contemplates Wolf, who sits shivering in the back seat.
Yes, Father.
Do you think Wolf's assistant can finish this film?
Paul, no. He has not enough experience.
What about you?
You are the closest we have to a photographer.
What are you talking about? The film ends here.
No, Henrik. This film will go on.
Henrik, this film cannot survive even the briefest interruption. The financiers would take control. They hate your script. Actually, it may be advantageous because it makes the crew very edgy and I like
it. You hear what you're saying?
I can drop Wolf at a
you're
hospital.
You're out of your fucking mind! You're a fanatic! Please don't behave like children, Henrik!
I'll get a new photographer and fly him back here within the week. Henrik, when you wrote this scenario, you had demons of your own to work out, did you not? Now I have mine. Albin. You're the producer. Keep this company together.
Murno kisses Albin on both cheeks, then drives away in the car. Next, from the moon, to Wolf, who sits shivering uncontrollably in the back of the car, which is now parked somewhere. In the cavern.
How dare you! How dare you destroy my photographer! You idiot!
Did I kill some of your people, Murno?
I can't remember. We have an arrangement.
Don't pretend you mourn, Herr Doctor. I know you.
Why him, you monster? Why not the script girl?
The script girl. I'll eat her later.
No, you will not. Our bargain. You agreed not to hurt my people. Listen to me. Do you understand? This requires that I go back to Berlin to find another photographer and then to fly him back here. And you will control yourself while I am away.
I don't think we need the writer any longer.
I don't expect you to understand this, and I am loath to admit it myself. But the writer is necessary. All my crew is necessary. Do you understand?
I don't think this ship is necessary.
What?
This ship.
the ship? My God, what are you talking about? I have a dozen scenes on the ship.
But I won't sail.
Then I will replace you with the devil! I will do every scene of yours with the devil!
You will have no close-ups.
None. Whatsoever. How dare you speak to me that way? I have shots! I am the director! Why didn't you mention this before? You want to eat the writer? Be my guest. That will leave you to explain how else your character is supposed to get to Bremen.
Shrek makes a dismissive gesture with his hands.
Yes, I will shoot the scenes at sea around you, but you will still have to sail to Helgoland for your death scene.
Or else what?
Or else? Or else, no Greta. We shoot her scenes there.
Shrek seems gripped by an internal anguish, and he grimaces at Marno.
I'll go to Helgoland, but I won't sail.
Helgoland is an island.
So?
So? It can only be reached by sea.
Or air.
Marno puts a hand to his head and he begins pacing the floor of the cavern as he considers.
And if I agree to fly you in, you will leave my people alone.
Or else what?
Don't think I can't harm you.
Tell me how you would harm me. Then even I don't know how I could harm myself.
Marno leaves, and Shrek watches him go. He rattles his fingernails together and seems to think to himself for a moment. He takes several halting steps forward and picks something up from a table. It's the locket with Greta's picture in it. Shrek holds it up as he stares at it.
But I strong hours indignant web devils, and beat me down, and marred, and wasted me. And though they could not end me, left me maimed to dwell in presence of immortal youth. Immortal age beside the immortal youth. And all I was in ashes.
He closes his hand around the locket and walks with his slow, painful gait to the rear of the cavern. Now, daylight over the forest that surrounds the castle. A caption. To accommodate his difficult star, Marno orders a duplicate of the ship built on the grounds of Count Orlok's castle. A sail is raised on the prop ship, and night falls over the castle.
Albin, what is the most wondrous thing you have ever seen?
I saw ectoplasm once.
Ectoplasm? What is ectoplasm?
It's the mystical substance of ghosts. I saw a spiritualist pull it out of his mouth in Italy.
What did it look like?
Seaweed.
Is that what we look like when we die?
I hope not. What was for you the most wondrous thing you ever saw?
I once saw Greta Schroeder naked.
No.
Yes.
That beats ectoplasm.
Jesus, Max! You scared me to death.
How long have you been listening?
We've been looking all over the place for your coffin.
Maybe it isn't his resting place.
Shrek steps closer.
Didn't we have something to say to him?
Max, the great Friedrich Wilhelm Murnau went to Berlin to find a new photographer. Yeah.
Wolf is probably dead.
So you can take your funny ears off.
Alp, please. The man is an artist.
Ask him some vampire questions.
When did you become a vampire?
I can't recall.
Where were you born? Were you born?
I can't remember.
Well, it's not funny anymore.
Come on. Count Dracula wouldn't say he couldn't remember.
I read that book. Morno gave it to me.
Well, now, this is a golden opportunity. Speaking as a vampire, what do you make of the book's technical merits?
It made me sad.
Why sad?
Because Dracula had no servants.
I think you missed the point of the book, Count Orlok.
Dracula hasn't had servants in 400 years, and then a man comes to his ancestral home, and he must convince him that he is like the man. He has to feed him when he himself hasn't eaten food in centuries. Can he even remember how to buy bread, how to select cheese and wine? And then he remembers the rest of it. How to prepare a meal, how to make a bed. He remembers his past glory, his armies, his retainers, and what he is reduced to. The loneliest part of the book comes when the man accidentally sees Dracula setting his table.
Albin and Hendrik share a look.
But if you're so lonely, why don't you make more vampires?
I can't. I'm too old. Although, I seem to remember I was never able to.
Then how did you become a vampire?
It was woman.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Shrek suddenly plucks a bat from the air and bites down on it hungrily. Albin and Hendrik watch horrified as all the blood is sucked from the creature.
Shrek, the German theater needs you.
We were together in the night, and then she left me. At first, I had a painting of her in wood. Then I had a relief of her in marble, and then I had a picture of her in my mind. But no, I no longer even have that. What was I saying?
He gulps from Albin's bottle.
The schnapps they make in these parts. I haven't tasted eating.
Take it easy there, old boy.
Albin retrieves the bottle and Shrek staggers away towards the castle. They watch him go.
Henrik, what an actor. Dedication.
On the deck of the prop ship, Shrek surprises a white-coated crew member.
You're Shrek.
The man backs away, but Shrek attacks him, forcibly restraining him as he bites his neck. The man struggles, but before long, his body is plunging from the ship. Shrek staggers on the deck for a moment. Next, a caption containing a moving image of a biplane. New photographer Fritz Arno Wagner arrives on location, while Murnau remains in Berlin to calm the financiers. The aircraft descends and lands in a field near some men carrying flaming torches. A good-looking man in a leather flying helmet jumps out.
Le docteur!
He
You wanted reality, Herr Doctor. Here it is.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I have dabbled in pharmaceuticals.
You're the new cameraman, right?
Yeah.
Paul is setting up to transshoot it now.
Ah, good.
My God, art can never move as fast as life, huh?
Ah, sure it can. So, what's the lens?
It's 35 millimeters, sir.
Not my ideal weapon of choice, but I suppose it'll do. Are you loaded?
Yes, sir.
Good. So am I. Move the camera 10 centimeters to the right, and I'll contrive a possible two-shot, but wait for my signal.
The cameraman, Fritz, fires a gun.
Did you get the shot?
Yes, sir.
And the gate is clean?
The gate's clean, sir.
I hadn't time to properly prepare the shot. What I should have done was film the thing in slow motion. It would have been incredibly moving.
What's that, sir? Slow motion?
Oh, well, I run the film through the camera too fast. Then when it's projected at normal speed, things appear to be unnaturally slow. Gives everything a kind of resonance.
It's a shame you won't have the chance to demonstrate your more esoteric skills on my production. I'm Alvin Grau, the producer.
And at dawn, Hutter tried to fathom the horrors of his nights.
Excellent. Fritz, roll camera.
Fritz puts on a pair of goggles and cranks the camera.
Iris in.
The camera iris contracts.
Begin.
Gustav comes through a stone archway, then stops when he sees a wooden coffin. He spots Shrek's face through a gap in the lid and throws the lid off. He retreats through the archway until his back's against the wall. Looking terrified, he stumbles up some stone steps until he's out of shot.
And end. Excellent, Gustav. Extraordinary discipline in the face of ridicule, Fritz
looks doubtful.
It's his performance style. Yes, I'd like to move in for another angle on the crypt, please, quickly.
Mark the shot with some chalk.
I am exhausted now, and I'm hungry as well.
You will get a nice hot meal in Wismar right after we're done with the ship.
An iris opens on a grainy black and white image of a ship sailing across the ocean. Below decks, a disheveled looking sailor notices rats scurrying out of a hole in a wooden crate. Shrek rises up out of the darkness to a standing position, his body perfectly rigid and his arms folded across his chest.
And end.
Color bleeds back into the image and film crew members mill about in the shot. One of them adjusts a wooden stretcher on Shrek's back attached to a rope which had elevated him into position. With a bewildered expression, Shrek steps away from the platform and looks around the set. Now, black and white stop motion footage of a sheet sliding away from a wooden trap door. The door opens, and Shrek emerges from the darkness. He creeps around the mast of the ship. Now, grainy footage of a long, narrow street, pallbearers carrying coffins down the road one after the other. A title reads, Wismar. In a lavish living room, Fritz and a young woman, Maria, are sitting together on a sofa.
Have you ever considered acting? No, really. You have a very interesting face.
Why can't Herr Doctor film in a studio like everybody else? Henrik, would you take my dog for me? Choo choo. Oh, and thank you, Fufu. Lovely. Wismar. Is there anything here that even vaguely resembles a cabaret? I mean, I'm suffering for my art, Albin, believe me. Melodrama, I mean, what's going on here anyway? You know, Friedrich tells me to lock my door at night, and Gustav says everybody's vanishing. Oh, and you can imagine what they're saying in Berlin.
Hello, Greta.
Hello. You look vaguely familiar. Where did we meet?
Morocco.
Yes, of course, you brought me treats.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your name again?
It's...
And Fritzy!
Yeah, yeah, yes, Fritzy.
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 Would you care to join us for a drink?
No, 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 no. We have to pre-light the set, yeah?
What set? What the hell are you talking about?
We need you to see the sets with us tonight.
Fritzy.
Well, give me back my dogs, then.
Here.
Thank you.
You're
yes.
Welcome.
Left all alone, as usual.
Come here, Fufu. Marno walks down an alley drenched in shadows, then heads through a doorway. Shrek's hanging his head, lost in deep thought.
She's here, isn't she? The glorious child.
No.
I want to see her now.
No!
I won't act for you again until you bring her to me.
You are destroying everything. My people have to trust me for you to get what you want.
You and I are not so different.
Greta is in your last scene. That is when you can have her.
After my death scene?
Yes.
Don't expect realism there, Marno.
What do you mean?
Don't cheat me, mortal.
You will stay away from her. You will stay away from my crew. I will finish my picture!
This is hardly your picture any longer.
Yeah.
Marno grabs Shrek by the throat and pushes him back onto a table. Marno's face is twisted into a snarl of fury, but Shrek stares at him, an evil smile spreading across his face. He rises up from the table, and a look of fear settles on Murno's face. He stumbles back. Murno backs towards a stone archway, then turns and hurries up some steps. Shrek smiles delightedly.
You're ready?
Yes, Henry.
Fritz and a giggling Maria head off with Henrik and Albin. They head down the stone steps into Shrek's living quarters. Henrik puts down a lantern, his eyes fixed on a dusty wooden coffin on the floor.
Oh, mind your head.
This is it.
He's in here?
Yeah.
You sure?
Henrik and Fritz lift off the lid.
Well, that answers that question. How did you find this place?
I followed Murnau here.
Henrik, I think you're in the wrong part of the building. There's probably a sadistic brothel upstairs.
Later that night, Shrek trudges down some stone steps and walks past the entrance to his dwelling. He continues down the dimly lit alley. His sinister shadow is cast against a brick wall. Shrek flinches at hearing the scream. Fritz comes out of his room and marches into another room where Greta is writhing about on the bed. Her blouse has come undone, exposing her breasts.
What's wrong?
It's all right. Everyone back to bed.
Greta! Greta, what is it? Greta, what is it? Greta! Greta! What's happened, Greta? Please!
It's morphine.
Morphine?
Fritz examines a glass vial.
Photography and pharmaceuticals by Fritzi. That's just what I need.
Friedrich knows all about it.
What do you mean he knows about it?
He knows all about it. She's fine. Don't worry, get some sleep.
Albin heads out of the room. Then Fritz follows him. Fritz locks the door behind him. As Fritz heads into his own room, the shadow of Shrek's skeletal fingers appear on the wall round the corner from Greta's door. Shrek approaches her door, glancing around furtively. He tries the door, but it won't budge. Shrek goes over to Fritz's door opposite, but that is also locked. He turns away frustratedly, sniffing. He ventures down the hallway and tries another door. Shrek turns away, snarling, and Hendrik appears behind him.
Are you all right there?
Shrek raises his head with an evil sideways glance as Hendrik heads to his room. Shrek rubs his long fingernails together. Helgoland. Myrna is sitting in the open cockpit of a small plane as the propeller comes to a rest. He gets out of the plane and unloads a large box. Then, a small gold case is opened, revealing a hypodermic needle.
The set is not ready.
Can we get any natural light in here?
Fritz, the set is not ready and you're talking about natural light, please.
What's the matter with you, Alden? You seem a little anxious lately.
You don't understand. I'm ruined. I never make another picture again. My reputation, gone. And you talk about natural light. Please, Fritz.
Don't worry. It's the same on every picture.
Not on my picture.
While Fritz lights a pipe, Shrek skulks in a doorway. Albin takes the pipe and has a puff. Myrno injects himself with a hypodermic needle, his eyes glazing over. As Albin exhales a plume of smoke, Shrek pulls down on a lever. A shutter rises open, letting in a shaft of brilliant sunlight. Shrek panics and flees through a doorway into the darkness. Fritz and Albin are outside Myrno's door.
Friedrich, open up!
It's me, Albin!
Friedrich, let us in!
Fritz breaks down the door. Murnau's sitting up in his bed, looking withdrawn. Albin goes over to his bedside.
What is it?
It's laudanum, that's what it is.
There is no Max Schreck.
If he's not Max Schreck, who is he?
I don't know.
Well, where did you find him?
In a book. When I was a student. A series of paintings portraying a long line of despotic kings rumored to be vampires living in Slovakia for hundreds of years. I had forgotten all about it until she gave me that other book.
What other book, Friedrich?
Dracula. Then I went to scout locations. And there I was, living in an old monastery.
What kind of bargain did you make with him?
That he would play the part of an actor playing the part of a vampire.
Why?
What did you offer him in return?
Everlasting life. And Greta.
Greta, how could you do this, Friedrich?
I did it for science. To preserve it for posterity.
Friedrich! Friedrich! He's gone. Come on.
What are we going to do?
The call is for 2 o'clock.
Albin takes off one of Murnau's shoes, then settles a blanket over him. He squeezes Murnau's hand, then walks out of the room. Fritz follows, closing the door behind him.
Albin, listen to me. There's no way off this island.
What about the airplane I saw?
No, I already checked it. The fuel tanks are empty.
God.
Nope. We're going to have to film Shrek's scene tonight.
A pale moon hangs in a pitch black sky.
You know I don't like these late shoots, Friedrich. Where is everybody? Why don't I have an assistant?
Greta? Did you put on this makeup with a broom?
Stop fussing, Alvin.
You look beautiful.
Can I have a cigarette?
Sure.
He gives her one.
Where's my script, Henrik?
He's indisposed.
What's the matter with him?
Greta, don't ask so many questions. We're busy.
He lights her cigarette.
Thank you, darling. Why does everybody look so depressing? Hey! Who died?
Shrek picks up a folded chair and brings it towards Greta. He looks at her intently, a smile playing on his thin lips. She takes a step back. He pulls open the chair. He sets it on the floor in front of her. As he stands back up, his lips stretch across his teeth to form a hungry smile. He flicks out his hands, gesturing for her to sit down. Myrna is sitting on the bed, watching.
Jesus, look at you.
She sits on the chair, looking nervous.
Friedrich? Herr Doktor?
Yes, Greta, what is it?
Yes, what is it? What's the shot? What are we doing here?
Shrek looks down at Greta, flexing his fingernails.
Can you stand for me? Look at you. Yes, very well. Now, let us take a robe, Alvin, please. And she'll need her wooden stake. Also, Greta, you will be here. I'm on the bed.
Yes.
Greta lies back on the bed and Myrna and Alvin adjust the pillows behind her. Alvin hands her a wooden stake.
Now, in this scene, you make the ultimate sacrifice for love, yes?
Yes.
You will seduce the Count and with your wooden stake, just before you die, you will dispatch him. Yes, thank you. Very good. Now, in other words, all you have to do is, as they say, relax, and the vampire will do all the work.
Yes? You had me leave rehearsals in Berlin just to do that. Hey, watch it, handsome.
Shrek leans towards her, but she points the stake at him. Fritz has a tape measure.
And for your linen, please, Herr Shrek. Thank you.
He measures the distance from the actors to the camera.
And Alvin, her shoes, please. Yes. We must go aboard.
Friedrich.
Yes?
I don't wish to question your authority, but are you sure you know what you're doing?
Yes, exactly. Roll camera. And Fritz, ready?
Fire.
Greta glances in a mirror.
And Iris in.
She sees no reflection from Shrek.
I'm sorry.
Calm down.
No, he casts no reflection.
Calm down, Greta.
I see it. No, look at him. Look at him. Yes. Look. Yes. Please help me. Help me, please.
Give me something to calm you.
No, no, don't.
Just
to
calm me. Yes.
Oh, help me. Look at him, please. 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 No. No! I don't understand what... No!
Myrna injects her arm while Shrek paces about agitatedly. Greta remembers.
It is the role that will make you great as an actress.
Her terrified face goes slack as the drug takes effect.
Consider it a sacrifice for your heart.
Her eyelids close.
It's better. Now we can work in peace.
Alban puts the stake in Greta's hand while Murnau adjusts the position of her feet. Shrek paces around with a growing frustration. He grabs Murnau's shoulder.
I want to know.
I need a shot of you clutching your heart first.
My dead scene?
Yes. You must do that for me.
Very well.
Roll camera and begin. Yes, Count. You kneel down. You'll have your head on her shoulder. But you're not feeding, Count.
His face is by her neck.
No, you're not drinking her blood now, because you have been drinking her blood all night. In fact, you can barely move.
Shrek licks his lips.
You are intoxicated with blood and desire. Greta, can you hear me? Yes? Flutter your eyelid. Yes, now, Greta, you start to awaken. Find your stick. Yes, where is it? Find your stick. Now, Count, as she raises the stake, what do you see? Yes. Yes. A wooden stake. Exactly. You look at her. Betray. Yes, you turn. You rise. You look around. The sun is coming. You grab your heart in anguish. Yes, and you start to die. Yes, you start to die alone in anguish. Die, you fucking rat bastard, vampire pig, Schweinhund shit. Yes, die alone. Yes, the weight of the centuries bends you. And end.
Shrek stops clutching his heart.
Fritz?
Yeah, got it. That's enough, Murnau.
Murnau whispers in Fritz's ear.
Hey!
I want her now!
Shrek, bitte.
Go to hell, Murnau! Begin!
Shrek plunges his face onto Greta's neck. Murnau quickly gets Fritz to carry on filming. He and Alban put on their goggles. Through the camera, the black and white image reveals Shrek feeding on Greta's neck. Through the window is a backdrop of some buildings.
Very good. Yes. Now slow down. Move the camera.
They shift the camera to a new position. Fritz continues filming from the foot of the bed. Murnau's directing a light towards them. Now, the filmmakers are sitting beside the bed, watching Shrek, who's finished feeding and is now resting his chin on Greta's neck. Alban whispers to Murnau. He gets up, and Murnau and Fritz follow him. Fritz begins filming again. Murnau signals Alban to throw the lever. The shutter doesn't open.
Wait a minute! He cut the chain! We're trapped!
Shrek stands up and fixes Murnau with an intense stare.
So, you would break of a bargain. You think you know so much, but I can still kill you. I can break your necks, drink your blood, and I can... You tried to trick me! It's daybreak. Is it? So what? All I need is to sleep in darkness. I will stay here until dusk. And then only I will walk out alive.
Fritz takes out a gun and shoots Shrek.
Idiot.
Murnau cranks the camera as Shrek goes over to Fritz, grabs his head and breaks his neck. Fritz slumps to the floor. Murnau continues filming as Albin runs to the bed and grabs the steak. Shrek grabs Albin by the throat and starts to throttle him, driving him to his knees.
Frankly, Count, I find this composition unworkable. Could you return to your original mark, please?
Shrek creeps towards the camera. Murnau takes off his goggles. The two of them stare at each other.
If it's not in frame, it doesn't exist.
Viewed through the lens, Shrek turns and looks upwards. Murnau turns the camera on Greta as the shadow of Shrek's hand creeps over her chest. It clutches at her heart and her chest rises from the bed, her neck arching backwards and her lips parting with pain. She sinks back onto the bed and he caresses her hair, then sinks his teeth into her neck. Murnau watches with an expression of ferocious concentration as he continues to work the camera. Shrek looks round towards the camera, smacking his lips together. Shrek creeps forward. He moves towards the film light. He adjusts its position so that the amber light bathes his face. A small smile plays over his bloody lips, but then turns to a grimace as the shutter is opened and daylight starts spilling into the room.
Then finally you must turn to meet the sun, the death of centuries, moon chaser, blasphemer, monkey, vase of prehistory, finally to earth and finally born. Yes, yes, yes. You take the sun. Albin, could you quickly collect the wooden stake and return it to its rightful place? It is necessary for the final frame to remind us of the inadequacy of our plans, our contingencies, every missed train, the failed picnics, every lie to a child.
Shrek clutches his heart and bends backwards, his face contorted into a grimace of anguish. His image is flooded with light until the film bends, distorts, and then dissolves into nothingness. Murnau keeps winding the camera, his eyes alive with intensity as people shuffle into the room, their shadows cast on the wall.
Softly, please. Our work is nearly complete. Our very own painting on our very own cave wall. Time will no longer be a dark spot on our lungs. They will no longer be able to say, you would had to have been there. Because the fact is, Albin, we were. Is there one among you who might wear the mantle of camera assistant?
Henrik is standing behind Murnau with a group of locals.
Could I possibly impose on you to collect the slate at my feet and provide me with an end board?
A local picks up the slate bearing the title Nosferatu and holds it in front of the camera. He turns it upside down. Murnau stops cranking the camera, then slowly pulls his gaze away from the set. His eyes are wide and glassy.
Thank you. I think we have it.